May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm just going to read these amazing verses to you again from Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division is of the soul, spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As we saw yesterday, the conclusion of these verses, of course, is verse 16. An invitation from the Lord to live our lives continually, that's the language here, drawing near to him. And in drawing near to him and to his throne of grace, we find grace, we receive mercy, which we'll talk more about either today or tomorrow. But I'm just struck again at the language here and the love of God here when it says that this one, I'll just read this to you in verse 12. For the word of the Lord is living and active and sharpening two-edged sword. That word is the word logos. And Jesus, it says about Jesus, in the beginning was the word logos, and the word was with God, the logos was with God, and the logos is God. And logos isn't just a word, it's a unveiling of the ideas and the thoughts and the personality of the person who's speaking something. It's communication. It's transparent communication, revealing the truest self. That's why it says, no man has seen God, in the same chapter, John 1, but Jesus has revealed him. That's logos, a revelation of not just a person's thoughts, but who they are. And so it says, this logos, this word of God, is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrows, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And then he goes, and before his very eyes, he judges, he knows, he sees, we're laid bare before him. He sees our very intentions and thoughts. But here's the thing that's interesting to me. And I really didn't discover this until today. When he says in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we logos. It's translated with whom we have to do. And every translation does that because it's kind of an awkward thing, but it's the same word, logos. And so he says to us, the invitation here is for transparent intimacy with God. As I said yesterday, the enemy's number one priority is to keep us from feeling that we can live in God's presence. That we would live with such a guilt consciousness that out of shame we would never sense that we can really be transparent and real before him because we're so full of imperfections. And yet this conclusion that let's continually, that's the language, draw near to him so we can receive mercy and find grace. The idea of finding grace isn't that there's something that's not there and you got to look for it and find it. You can't find something that doesn't exist. If I get in the car and we're about to leave somewhere and I realized I've forgotten something and I'm going to tell Livy, I'm going to go in and find the hat, I know the hat exists. And so the idea is not getting something that doesn't exist, it's laying hold of something that's there. And so this life of continually drawing near and receiving mercy and laying hold of grace at the throne of grace is all precipitated in the idea that we actually have confidence to do that. When we looked at that word yesterday, let us draw near with confidence. And that word with confidence, the word confidence is the word all. Just bring it all. Because you see, the Lord knows this, that in our imperfections, in our failures, in our weakness, and in our sin, the only place in the world where we can receive cleansing, forgiveness, and healing is in His presence. Transformation can only take place in His presence. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about that we are transformed by continually beholding Him, by looking to Him in His presence. And so the Lord says this, He says, my logos, my communication with you is very transparent in that I see everything about you, even your thoughts and your intentions. Now, logos back to me. Communicate with me like that. I see it. That's why He says, hold fast to your confession. To confess is a word that means simply, it's two words, to agree with. He says, therefore, our communication has to be one that's transparent. I want you to come before me bringing it all. I want you just to simply understand that I see it all and agree with me that I see it all and understand that in light of that, I still invite you to live in my presence. Now, I know we talked about this yesterday, but I just feel like that's so important to reinforce in our hearts. Because we think we can live intimately with Him if we can just get our act together and live in solid purity and perfection. But what God is saying is that we're never going to walk in purity or ever get our act together unless we are continually living in His presence. Now this is, of course, not saying to us, it's okay just to live in your sin and just thank God that He has mercy on us. Now, the idea of drawing near is not just to receive mercy when we fail, but to find the grace to not live in failure all the time. But the Lord's commitment to us isn't just that He loves us from a distance, even though we're the sorry souls of saints that we are. And as I've said over the years, it's not just because He entered into a contract with us and He's stuck with us because He's God and He can't go back on His contract. He wants to transform us and He enjoys our fellowship even when we come to His throne of grace looking to receive mercy. None of the things that we do, actually none of the thoughts that we think or any of the motives that we have, intentions, are shockers to Him. He knows it all. And it was important to Him, as I mentioned yesterday, to pass through the heavens. It was important for Him that we know that He's not just our Heavenly Father who loves us from this clean, pure, pristine place called heaven. He passed through the heavens and got down in the mud and got dirty with us. Though He never sinned, it says that He sympathizes with us as a high priest. The word there again is co-suffering. He entered into our suffering and the battle here on earth so we would know that this one that we draw near to, whom we're laid bare before, and we can't pretend anymore, we can't hide and fake it in His presence, we can't like go before Him and spend our whole life, oh thou, oh God, oh great holy thou God, we've been laid bare. In our logos, our communication with Him needs to be as transparent as what He sees. Because it's only in that can we be healed. Only in that can we be transformed. And He wants us to know He loves us so much. He stepped out of pristine heaven and wanted us to know that His love is so big. He didn't just love us from there, but He came down here and suffered with us so that we would feel comfortable, confident in being transparent for Him. Because the very fact that you want to draw near is proof that you're just not trying to rip Him off and using mercy as an excuse to keep doing it. You're not mocking His grace. We draw near because we're desperate for Him and we're desperate for Him to transform us. As I wrote in the devotional today, that's one of the reasons the enemy tries so hard to keep you out of drawing near, to keep you from drawing near. Because he knows there You're not just cleansed and forgiven, but you're transformed into becoming more and more like Christ, and that puts him at peril. He doesn't want that to happen. He knows his gig is up if you become Christ-like. And besides that, you're God's masterpiece. And your transformation out of your brokenness and sinfulness is his great stroke of genius. And the enemy hates God, and he wants to destroy that masterpiece. And the best way to do that is to keep us from feeling like we can draw near. Well, you know what Eucharist is about? Regardless of what church you grew up in, what the church has always believed from the beginning, not the Protestant church, not the Catholic church, just the church. It's always believed that in Eucharist, somehow in some mystery, he comes closer to us, becomes more incarnational to us than at any time in our walk. And he offers himself to us, and he invites us. It's a great picture. Draw near. I give myself to you. My blood was shed for you. My body was broken for you, for your healing in your bodies, but also and primarily in your very souls. And so the Lord invites you today in Eucharist to come, draw near, receive him. He delights in your presence. You want the word grace, where it really comes from? The word grace actually means to take pleasure in, unconditionally delight in, and therefore give favor to, if you have the ability to give favor. And as our kinsman redeemer, our Boaz certainly has the ability. But he delights in you. He delights in your presence. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.